Welcome back to Silk Flowers and
Paper Mache Hearts. We are your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. And today we are sitting down with Jay Duckworth, the props master at the Public Theater in New York. Thanks for joining us, Jay.
Thank you for inviting me to be with you.
Awesome. So both Ashley and I have had the pleasure of working with Jay in the past. So it's great to have you on the show finally.
Thank you so very, very much. And I also really loved working with you guys.
Oh, yeah, you did.
We love working with you.
Yes. I'd love to tell you. I'm great.
The best. Funny story. When I first heard your name, I was like, I wonder if I'm related to him because my mother's maiden name is Duckworth.
You lie like a rug.
I swear. Swear. Okay. My mother's maiden name is Duckworth.
We've known each other since the beginning of Fun Home. And
I told you this, didn't I?
No.
I didn't. No. Oh my goodness.
You think maybe it was another Jay Duckworth.
It could be. Maybe. It could be the doctor in Liverpool named Jay Duckworth.
Oh, that's right. But yeah, so ever since then, I'm like, I've got to figure out a way to say that I am related to Jay Duckworth. Still trying to figure it out, but
crazy. That's it's such a small family name that
right?
we probably are like as they say, shirt tail cousins, just like on the periphery. And I and Eric are actually related to the Delacorte stage because we bled so much on it. Delacorte stage. So, i.e., therefore. Oh, my God, we're all related.
Yes. I'm happy to say some of my worst experiences have been with Jay Duckworth. And I mean that in the finest way.
It goes back to that course, the course I taught called Why No One Wants to Do Props with Jay Duckworth. I really should have put a comma in there.
the title took on a whole new meaning. And it had record numbers of people signing up.
People away.
So for those of you who aren't related to Jay, he's the props master for the Public Theater in New York City. As well as before that, you were working off Broadway. And before that, you were coming from New Jersey, right?
George Street Playhouse. I was at George Street Playhouse for like 16 years. And God, it was almost coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I graduated instead of dropping out. But it was almost like I went to the door at George Street, dropped off my resume, and Deb Jason was working the front desk. She was the head of production, and looked up from the phone and said to me, she was like, do you hang lights? And I was like, yeah. She goes, okay, we have a thing that starts tomorrow. Be here at 9 a.m. So I had to go get my, you know, remember those little blue theatrical handbooks?
The backstage handbook?
Yeah. I had to look up how to hang a light.
What's a light?
I had no idea. But it was work, you had a foot in the door.
That's brilliant.
So let's just say my entire career was built on a lie.
That's the secret. Lie your way.
You can say yes, and it's just like acting. It's like improv. Yes. And that's why the city has to buy me a new toilet every year. But yeah, I started out in Jersey and then got the itch for off-Broadway. And a director named Michael Morris, who works in TV now, brought me over to Cherry Lane. And I did my first off-Broadway show there. And then it's just nuts. I took off like crazy after that. That was like 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And by 2008, I was working at the Public.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty high speed and pretty crazy. I had like, I think it was like five shows going on off Broadway at the same time for my birthday in October of 2006. I never thought I was going to be able to break into New York, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know how hard it is. It's all about like just getting in there and getting people to know you. And I thought you had to go drop your resume off, you know, and mm-hmm. It never got anywhere. And I, you know, but now with emailing and like research and everything, it's a lot easier to get a hold of like people, you know, and then also just there's more resources out there.
So how did your first off-Broadway show sort of turn into more? Was it just people you got to meet? Did people see your work?
I took Michael out to dinner, and because I wanted to thank him for starting me on on my first off-Broadway show, my off-Broadway career, blah blah blah. And he said, keep your summer open. I'm in the works on doing the new Terrence McNally play with Marion Seldes. Nice. And I was like, holy cow. And so it went from there to there. And they got Nathan Lane in the play. So it became like this really big thing. So a lot of people saw it. And the production manager was also a production manager at the new group. And he invited me down to the new group. He said, maybe you'd like to work for us. And I got a phone call. And the phone call went pretty much like this. I was like, if you send me out the script, I'll read it over. And just in the contract, I want to make sure I make X amount of money, which I know is like way above any other prop master ever got there. And I said, I also want a poster credit and I want to buy on the program. And the person laughed at me, and I said, and she was like, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm sure that you could probably get that out in New Jersey, but I don't think this is that's something that we can do." And I said, "That's absolutely fine. Go ahead and keep my number, and maybe we'll work together soon." And then about 10 minutes later, she called back and said, "I'm very sorry, Mr. Duckworth. We'll have the contract and the." And the script out to you this afternoon. You should probably get it tomorrow. And I said,
"Wow!"
Can I ask you who recommended me for the job? And it was that production manager. And I called him up and I was like, "Peter, what the hell did you say?" And he said, if Jay Duckworth is free and available, you do what you can to get him in this theater."
Nice.
Yeah. And that was the first time I ever felt valued for my work. You know, before that, it was always like, well, props is nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, what you got? You got a little bit of props. You got like some furniture you got to pull out of a closet. You know, you got to get some papers. But that's when you bring everything, everybody's got an opinion. Mm-hmm. Oh, this cake's too high. This the vase is too big. The vase is too small. It'd be great if it matched her outfit. Those flowers match, but not with her hair. But we got to change it to red, which is also going to change the the couch color. You know, so it that validated me. And from that, I kept getting jobs, and I had stopped looking for jobs at that point. And you both know this feeling. I think a lot of prop people know that feeling when you stop having to give out calls and people start calling you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting.
It's a total shift of the entire entire mindset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to explain when people are interested to move to New York and they're kind of like, "Oh, what do I got to do? I'm always looking for jobs." And I try to explain. It's like at a certain point, you're kind of like, things are coming in. People are asking for you. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting calls, or you know what's out there, and you're not making cold calls at a certain point. You're not dropping off your resume. You're like, you're just part of this machine that's like using you.
Yeah. And you're able to negotiate more because you might have a couple offers at once and can only take so many, and use that and say, "Well, I have this other offer. Can you do this for me?" You know, in recognition or something. And it's a very, very interesting place to be at.
Yeah. There's a female prop master on Broadway who I kept encouraging to get her name in the program and a bio. And I was like, "You're good enough. You're getting enough work. You should do this." And the producers offered her an extra, I think it was like $1,000 or $1,500 for the gig if she just dropped the entire thing. And she said to me, she was like, "Do I take the money?" And I'm like, "No, I think you've tapped into something that has a little more importance than just money, that they're willing to pay you that." And that's shifting the paradigm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only gotten my name on a poster and a bio once in New York. And it was interesting because I didn't even ask for that.
Where was it? What theater? Give the theater a shout. Give the theater.
It was the production was Rose, and it was at the Theater Row.
Oh, they're great there. They're really great.
They were like, oh yeah, you'll be on the poster, and like, oh, we need your bio. And I was shocked. I've never been asked that. I've always asked to have that and always been turned down.
Yeah.
And have always had that fight with the production team of, okay, why can't I? Why da 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 back and forth. And so it was so nice to be like, oh yeah, can you send us your bio? And it's like, oh, you appreciate, I'm a part of the team.
It's a shocking thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very shocking. And it's sad that it's shocking. Like, it shouldn't be shocking. It should be normal to be like, yes, here's my bio. I was the props master for the show, you know?
Now having your name on the poster, that changes the, you go up to the, you know, you see that poster and you see your name. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. And I'm like, I want my picture with this. And I'm just like, Ashley, calm down. I'm like, no. Props people are never on the posters.
Yeah.
And all of the rest of the design team was like, oh, whoop-de-doo, your name's on, like, big deal. I'm like, no, guys, this never happens. And I didn't take a pay cut or anything for that.
Yeah, my first show, the off-Broadway, the Slag Heap was the name of it at Chair Lane. And I asked them for the poster and the bio. And they're absolutely accommodating. They're like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, and then from there on, I was I pretty much told people if they did not give me health insurance, and they, and I had if I was a temporary employee like any other designer, then I want a bio and I want a poster credit. That's why I left a theater company right before I went to the public.
Oh, really?
I worked an entire year, and then we did a workshop, and I was there for the workshop every day from 9 a.m. till they kicked me out. Wow. Because it was a really cool show, and I said to them, I was like, I have no bio and I have no poster credit on this. They're like, well, you know, we don't have that on the workshops. And I was like, well, I'll take an insert then. And they're like, no, we just don't do it. I was like, fine. And they're like, is this a deal breaker? Are you going to think about, are you coming back next season? I was like, yeah, it absolutely is. I was like, you're just telling me that you don't respect my work.
Yeah.
And they said to me, they're like, well, where are you going to go? And that's what I didn't want to tell. I'm like, oh, I guess I'll have to go to the public theater then and stop there.
Yeah.
See, Eric, you did get me talking about credit.
Right. Yeah.
And around that
way. Cool. Well, it's funny how resistant some people are to giving credit, even just putting in the playbill. I remember there were a couple fights at the public theater about how we should be credited, and it's like, you're trying to save money on ink?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not
what's the big argument for that, for not recognizing the props masters?
I think it's mostly the fear of money, the fear of spending more money, and it's not spending the money on ink, but it's then do you get a design credit? And if you get a design credit, if the show goes on, do you also get residuals? I mean, I've got residuals for prop designs that I've done for shows, and they went on tour, and it was incredible. The theater was very Primary Stages did that. And they're
great. Yeah,
they really respect their artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's they're worrying about having another designer on the team that they have to pay a certain amount of money. Now in New York, all the theaters agree on how much. I mean, they meet and they agree on a cap for prop masters. I'm sure it's for every division. It's not just prop masters. It's not like the Illuminati, but they agree on different prices to cap people out at. So no theater has to pay a prop master more.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get paid less. I mean, that's where greener, newer people to the scene get in and unfortunately get taken advantage of.
Right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I put on the Facebook post on Prop Summit page, I was like, can somebody tell me how much a prop master gets at this theater? And and they put it up, and one of the old timers said, "That's exactly what I was getting 15 years ago."
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it's 4 or 5 weeks of work, you know. And if you're getting 1,200 for that amount of work, I mean, that's insane.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially since you have to basically be on in the theater the entire tech week and on call during all the rehearsal times, taking care of notes every day. I mean, you could try to have another job during that time, but somebody's going to want you to be there all the time.
Well, luckily, Eric, they provide the money for an assistant for you. So you don't have to leave at 2 a.m. and be back at 9 a.m. so you have notes done.
Right.
You know, all the theaters help you out that way, right?
So anyway, we started talking about the public. So this was, you weren't giving your resume out or doing any job interviews once you got started on Off-Broadway, but I think you did have to do an interview with the public when that job came up.
Oh yeah.
I think you got some good stories about that. First of all, I always like your packet of recommendation letters.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Even I'm working at the public, I still get letters of recommendation. I asked Ruth for one, and I asked Oscar for one. Mm-hmm. And Oscar was worried. He's like, "Are you leaving?"
I know. I was going to say, do they get nervous?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you be my reference?
They only get nervous the only time they get nervous is when you leave your resume on the copier. and you just do that as a, just leave it there.
No, you know what's good is just post on Facebook asking for advice on updating your resume. See what happens.
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Make sure you're friends with the admin at your theater.
Or just go up to your boss and be like, could you look at this over? Could you just tell me, like, give me some pointers on like how to update this? Because I just want to make sure that, I get more money. Than here. I found out the job was opening at the public, and I wrote every person that I worked with that I knew would have some kind of influence on their decision making for a letter of recommendation. And I said, if I have ever done anything that helped move your story along or helped you realize your vision, if you could just take 5 minutes to write me, I'd really appreciate it. And I will never bother you again because I'll be working at the public, hopefully. I took those letters and made up a packet. And the packet had my resume, my card in it, and 17 letters of recommendation. And when I went into Ruth's office, I said to her, it was a very bold move on my part, and I don't recommend it ever. But I said, she asked me to sit down, and I said, well, I understand that this interview is just a formality because the public comes highly recommended to me. And she laughed. I know, right? Oh my God. It was the stupidest, smartest. So we sat down, and the first letter of recommendation, once you open it, I mean, you can see my resume, and I knew they already had looked at my resume. So they all the questions they would have would be about what's on my resume. So I knew this was superfluous. They wouldn't even use this to look at. So the letters I stacked in order of impressiveness. And the first one that was on there was Arthur Lawrence, the guy who started Sondheim's career. Mm-hmm. And wrote Gypsy and West Side Story. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it was Terrence McNally. And then it was Christopher Durang. And then Michael Morse. And then it went on to producers and Rick Sordele, you know, fight people. And then Hal Binkley. But it was like, it was all these heavy hitters, some directors too. John Frasco, who was her assistant at the time, or who was the assistant head of production at the time, didn't look up from the letters during the interview. He didn't even ask me one question because he was just reading these things. So, and it was right before the crash, right before the financial crash. And I said to myself, whatever number that they give me, I'm going to ask for $10,000 more. I was offered the job, and I said, I said about needing more money. That's when we went into negotiation. So I knew I wasn't going to get that much money.
Yeah.
But I knew that I could use that as leverage for either more vacation, better health insurance, better dental, or coverage for eyeglasses, or whatever I needed. And then when the offer came, you know, it was it totally doubled my pay from where I came from. But I did play a little hardball with Ruth, and we went out for coffee and everything and talked it through. And we came to a very amiable agreement. And August, September, a month later, the stock market crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And thank God I had just come from Lort Theater, because I was making money on shoestring budgets. So when we started these shows, the budgets were in line. The it was so cut back that we were able, that I was able to do the shows the same way that I did off Broadway and in New Jersey. You know, so it was, it was doing better work for the same prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You also surrounded yourself with some very excellent artisans right away.
I did. I did. Luckily, we had you. That's who you care about.
What? Oh, me? Oh. Oh, my. You flatter me.
I was going through my documents. I was cleaning my office, and I was going through documents, and I found your resume. I kept your resume.
Oh, yeah.
With the 11:30 appointment still written on it. From when we met and talked.
Was this when I first applied?
The very first application. Yeah, Eric was incredible, and he did a lot of really incredible things. And he started his blog when we worked with Korns on Christopher Durang's Torture Is Wrong, and the people who love them.
Yeah, yeah, I remember you. You like hired me for a week to fix some tables. You're like, I could get you a week worth of work. I just really want to get you in there. And then it's like, oh, there's a lot of furniture in this next show. Can you just stick around for a few more weeks just for this show? And then it was 2.5 years later, I finally left.
And he left because his incredible and talented wife got a job down in North Carolina, and he went to go be with her, which is a very noble thing, because long distance relationships suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're tough. It's like they're tough.
Yeah.
They're tough. But, I mean, look at us now. Then you and I, you were brought in by Faye, correct?
Yeah.
And for
Fun Home.
Was Fun it Home? Fun?
It was Fun Home. It was the week before Tech of Fun Home, I think.
Yeah.
And I was I was interning at Spider-Man the Musical on Broadway, and one of the past interns used to be an intern at the Public and introduced me to you. And I remember I called, and we briefly talked. You gave the phone to Faye, and Faye's like, what are you doing tomorrow at 9? And I was like, I guess I'm coming to the Public. And she's like, correct. And I did, and it was great. It was fun. But yeah, I was only there for like a week or so, and then I think I've started to follow Faye around to Lincoln Center and stuff.
She snatched you up. As soon as she knew that you could do like really great work, it was like, and then you just took off from there.
It was crazy. It was like a snowball effect. It was like, oh, I'm suddenly working now. What's happening? It was weird.
That goes back to if you're smart, if you're talented, if you're crazy, but crazy enough that you can work with the person, and you come in on time. But yeah, it's a small world. I mean, we work in a small world. And Eric and I did some really just great stuff together. And he, oh my God, you are just, I'm talking like you're not here. You're really incredible. And you have such an influence in this community. Mm-hmm. God, dude, it's amazing because it's like USITT. I heard a lot of people go, oh my God, it's Jay Duckworth. Let's go over. Let's go to Jay Duckworth. So they're getting around me like, oh my God, Jay Duckworth. And I'm like, hello. Yeah, have you seen Eric Hart? So I was like, not yet. Yeah, you know that you would know where he is. But like, he's up in his book bag. Like, get out of here, all of you. Eric T-shirts on.
Is he hiding behind you?
You know, most I could have most prop people hide behind me. Like, I mean, most prop people, like all of them.
Yeah, there were a bunch of shows we kind of slogged through just the two of us, but there were other shows where we had like a small army working for us. And I feel like now the public theater is doing like, what do you do, like 430 shows a year that you have to prop?
It's got to be like that. And every one of them goes to Broadway.
Uh-huh.
No. The big thing was, and I'm just going to touch on this, when my parents died, when I lost my mom, I lost my mom and dad the same day, and Eric took over, and I took him into the office, and I said, I'm going to tell you the secret of being a prop master. And he was all wide-eyed, and I was like, I have to catch a plane to go to my parents, to go make arrangements for my parents' funeral. But I just wanted to tell you what the secret was. And he's like, all right, I'm ready. And I was like, just do something moving forward. I was like, it doesn't matter what it is. I said, because it's always going to change. I was like, and he's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah, that's so busy. But at that time, that's when Faye came in and we got tons of overhire because it was such a big show.
And two big shows.
They were in rep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the time that, you're right, we slogged through. And then those were the times that it started getting other prop masters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And now with all the programming that we have going on, there was 28 prop people in the shop this fall.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, because you got five spaces in the building, but you constantly have workshops and shows outside of the building.
And now we do tours. You know, we have not only the Mobile Shakespeare, but we had another show that was out on a tour of the Midwest. Sweat.
Uh-huh.
Sweat. That's the name of the show. So we had... that prop master and her assistant, Alyssa Dillon, who came to us
from... Oh, yeah, one of Ron DeMarco's students.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Ron sometime.
quick little story. When she was, like, Ron sent her to USITT, and I was the one doing prop portfolio reviews. And it was me and this other teacher, and we just get hers, and we look at it, and she's like, what do you have to say? It's like, nothing. Go work. This is a brilliant portfolio, and I cannot believe this is coming out of an undergrad program. Like, just start working. And she did. She went to Sleep No More, and now.
And now she's the head at Sleep No More, like for a lot of events. And then also Rebecca David, she came to us as an intern to break into the New York scene, but she had also worked in New York a little bit. But it was like all, you know, Cindy Lee from ART, Ron DeMarco, you know, all these great names on her resume. And it's like, why are you applying for the internship here? You need to just start working, you know? So there's some really good teachers, but that goes back into, you know, there's the teacher, who teaches at Pace, that prop master is.
No, I never heard of him. Do they have a props program?
All right. They're one of the best, I think, one of the best out there in what you call universities. But now we have the we hire prop masters, and every show gets a prop master and an assistant, mm-hmm. and we have a core group of carpenters. And you guys know how, like, hiring, you get a carpenter with another skill and a soft goods person with another skill, mm-hmm. so that you're always able to have somebody do something. And shoppers are like chameleons, so they are pretty much are their own beasts, because they can do, I mean, if they can go shopping for all the shows, mm-hmm. you know, and you just use the, you just pool that money into whatever budget is, because it's all coming from the same pot. Mm-hmm. You get those people together, and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. And then you're, Sarah Swanberg, you created a new position for her? She was just bumped up in your shop.
She is doing the same job.
Uh-huh.
She mm-hmm. is just finally being recognized for it.
Okay.
So she's now the prop shop supervisor, which frees me up, because I hate. I mean, I'm honest. I'm going to be honest with you. The reason that she stepped up was because one time, no, this is like a long time ago. One time I took my receipts out of my backpack. And I mean, I don't mean I had them in a folder or anything. I took the receipts out of my backpack and put them down on the table. She was just like, this, she goes, this hurts my heart. It hurts my heart to look at this. And she started doing paperwork, and she became like such a huge asset that now she runs the department, and I'm able to be the, what the job I got hired for is the prop master for the public theater. Mm-hmm. So, the arrangement is that she has, she will schedule, she'll do budgets, she purchases, she hires, and also, she takes care of like budget, you know, helping hire pop masters for the season, as well as assigning shows. Mm-hmm. So we all read the shows, and we, you know, early on we discuss them. And then when shows are in previews, I'll go in and I'll talk to the prop master about like what's going on, you know, where do they feel they need help, you know, and then I'll ask them about their choices. And then I'm also there for the armory, and like any kind of gun or knife or fight thing, I'm also in charge of, and any firearms, just for safety wise. And then, of course, also teaching down at Pace takes up a lot of time, and then writing for stage directions working with Michael Eddy takes up a lot of time. So it's just, again, I always say this, but I think I'm one of the luckiest people that I know, you know, just because it's like I'm doing exactly what I want to do, and no one has called me out yet. You, sir, have a career built on lies.
The secret.
They're going to find out you can't hang lights. Take it all back. Someday. Get out of here.
Mr. Duckworth. That's what Lynn used to do to me. Lynn was like, would always, and that's the great advantage, like, of having like a goofy last name like that. Is like it just rolls off the tongue well. So he would always be like, Duckworth. Sound like the best butler in the world.
Yeah, my mom growing up, she was always asked, well, how much is a Duckworth? All the time.
Do you know, I finally found out.
What?
I finally found out what a duck's worth.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. At my 50th birthday, J.O. Saunders made a poem for what a duck worth. Ducksworth, and it's on YouTube, on Joe's Pub at YouTube, because we live cast the birthday party.
Yeah,
but I'll send you a copy of the poem he wrote, so you can give it to your mother.
Oh, she would love that.
Hilarious.
That's amazing. Well, I think we're gonna have to wrap up for this episode, but we will be back next week with Jay, and we're gonna continue this conversation and get into education. So thank you so much for sitting down for the time being.
Thank you. I think we talked for more than 20 minutes. Yeah, hopefully you're going to edit this.
Don't worry.
We will. No, it's all going in there.
all of it.
I hope this is, I hope you have time to edit this before the next. All right, guys. Well, thank you very much for like taking the time out to talk to this old goat.
Of course. And everybody, make sure to follow us on Twitter at SilkMache and email us with any questions or ideas for future episodes at propspodcast@gmail.com.
And subscribe to us on iTunes and check out our website at silkflowersandpapermachehearts.com, where you can also find out about our Patreon. You can also find out more about Jay on his website at proptologist.com.
This has been another episode of Silk Flowers and
Papier-Mâché Hearts with your hosts, Eric Hart
and Ashley Flowers. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.